Gas prices set a record.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The price of gasoline has never been higher than it is right now. Gas is $3.01 a gallon on average. That's from the Lundberg Survey of gas stations around the country. Lundberg found the best price in Charleston, South Carolina, $2.77, but in San Diego, the average price is $3.28. There are some people who like it when gas prices are high. They run oil companies, or maybe they invest in oil companies. Either way, the money is pouring in. This week, we'll find out just how much. We'll get earnings reports from the likes of ExxonMobil, Shell, and BP. More now from Lisa Napoli.
You don't need a crystal ball to see what's in store for big oil. John Felmes with the American Petroleum Institute.
Well, judging by the changes in oil prices, natural gas prices, and refining margins, it looks as though they'll come in line with performance you've seen in previous quarters.
Meaning massive, whopping, maybe even record-setting. ExxonMobil, for one, took in profits of $8.5 billion last quarter, and it's on pace to net $36 billion this year. Severin Borenstein heads up the University of California Energy Institute. He says corporate profits aren't the problem.
I'd be much more concerned about the profits of places like Iran. Iran is pulling in probably an extra $40 billion a year.
He says the next time you grit your teeth at the pump, consider that it may be you who's getting rich, too.
That money mostly goes to shareholders, and most of those shareholders are us.
Whether you hold the stock outright or have a pension plan or index fund that invests in big oil. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
I'm telling you, this heat, it's making people crazy. Yesterday, I saw a guy snatch an air conditioner out of an old lady's hands. It was the last air conditioner left at the Home Depot. The first half of this year has been the country's hottest on record. I can't even imagine what it's like for farmers. More now from Alex Cohen.
A combination of heat and drought has been brutal on crops like corn, wheat, and cotton throughout the country. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has declared counties in Colorado, Oregon, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Texas as natural disaster areas. That allows farmers to apply for low-interest emergency loans. But, says Travis Miller of Texas A&M University, when crops are depleted, farmers aren't the only ones taking a financial hit.
Your equipment dealers, your fertilizer dealer, your car and pickup dealers, whatever rural people buy, they're going to buy less of because they have less income.
This year's weather has been a blessing for one crop. Peaches in South Carolina and Georgia are sweeter this season due to the heat. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
This couple in England has been selling a line of crackers and chips called Brits. Sounds an awful lot like Ritz, doesn't it? The company that makes Ritz thought so too, so it sued. Kraft Foods even called in a phonetics professor who said yes, Brits does sound like Ritz. But today, Britain's patent office ruled in favor of the Brits people. This is Marketplace. Today, a giant investment group that invests in hedge funds began trading publicly on the London Stock Exchange. It's a rare opportunity for small investors who usually can't afford hedge funds. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Generally, to invest in a hedge fund, you need a cool $500,000 at your disposal, and your money's tied up for at least a year. With today's public offering, small investors can buy into as many as 35 different hedge funds for the price of a single share of Swiss-based CMA Global Hedge, with no time commitment. Charles Gradante of the Hennessy Group says offering the regular investor a bite of the hedge fund pie is a good idea.
Provided they are educated in the risks associated with hedge funds, who may use leverage and may short stocks and things like that.
Hedge funds raked in $42.1 billion in the second quarter of this year. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Builds with Habitat for Humanity, an opportunity for Lutherans to help build 310 decent homes this year with families in need. Online at thriventbuilds.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
A lot of companies could be in trouble for the way they've handled stock options. The Securities and Exchange Commission's looking into at least 80 companies. Last week, the SEC filed charges against two executives who worked at a firm called Brocade Communications. They're accused of backdating the stock options given to employees. Over the past few weeks, I've tried to explain this the best I could, but this morning, I'm going to turn that job over to Mr. Alan Sloan.
It's like this. Back in the day, the rule is if you gave somebody a stock option where he could buy stock at the market price the day the option was granted, the cost of that option did not have to be charged against a company's profits.
Okay.
If, however, you gave somebody an option that was priced below the value the day that the option was granted, you had to take a rather large charge to your expenses.
Right. I'm following you so far.
Then what happens was, in order to entice employees to sign up with them, companies would put the price of the option not at what the stock price was the day the option was granted, but at some price that was convenient, as in low, so that the employee was ahead the day he got the option, because they made sure to pick the lowest possible price for the option.
But Alan, is there actually any law on the books that prohibits this practice?
There's no law on the books that prohibits giving people, options whatever date you want to do it. However, there are laws on the books about fraud. There are laws on the books about taxes. There are laws on the books about a variety of other things. I suspect that in the end, that's what they'll get these guys on, if they get them on these criminal and civil charges. And there may be a nasty little tussle with the Internal Revenue Service, which doesn't take kindly to companies taking deductions to which they're not entitled.
On the scale of corporate scandals, how does this one rate?
I think it depends on which company it is. If the charges against this company, Brocade, that were brought last week are true, that ranks pretty high up there, like an 8 or a 9. For some of the other companies, I suspect it's maybe a 2 or a 3. And I suspect a lot of these companies are in similar circumstances where they were just doing stuff and weren't trying to cheat anybody. But in fact, it just wasn't telling the truth to people. You know, if you believe in markets and you believe in disclosure and you believe in this, you believe in that, cheating is a bad thing. It's not nice.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Does that fish smell?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.